Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Boom!
Yeah. Welcome back to Okla Said. It is the official Okla Ed podcast. We are so happy you've tuned back in with us. I am Erin Barnes, and you can find me on the Twitter at ebarnes73.
I'm Scott. I am Groot.
You are not Groot. You are Scott Hazelwood.
I am Groot.
And you can find him on the Twitter at...
I am Groot.
You can always follow us on the Twitter as well at Okla Said.
Sure can.
Yeah.
So policy chats.
The policy chats happen on the fifth Sunday of the month. So not every month, you know, but any month that there's a fifth Sunday, we're going to have a policy chat.
Right. And they're usually pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Sean takes time out of his very busy schedule to come and hang out with the teachers of Oklahoma and beyond. I mean, we're not just Oklahoma, the chat anymore, to talk about legislative things that are happening. And sometimes they are Oklahoma specific, but a lot of times they go well outside of Oklahoma.
They do. Sometimes it's an examination of sort of national trending policy.
Exactly.
And sometimes the question posed gets a bunch of teachers onto the grumpy bus and whining amongst ourselves about things we already understand. So it can run the rails. The policy chat can run the rails from a bunch of teachers preaching to the choir to, hey, here's ideas on how to handle all sorts of different policy initiatives and things that we just need to be aware of in general.
Yes.
So it's a good chat.
Absolutely. Well, let's dive in. Do you want to?
Yeah, let's do.
Okay. Question one. Teacher raises ranging from $5,435 to $8,820 based on experience and degree level are now in effect. What impact do you think the pay raise and subsequent increase in retirement benefits will have on Okla Ed teacher shortage crisis? That was a big question. That was a big question.
I would like to see some sort of data on this in a year or two. I would suspect it would be a small bump, but minimal.
I hope not, but you are probably right. I went with Bill Day on this one, and he said the pay raise is appreciated, but implementation is confusing. It's definitely confusing teachers in his area, Broken Arrow, Union, Tulsa. Unfortunately, we're still seeing teachers move to other districts and into admin for the pay raises and even out of education. And so, again, we're above the minimum. What does it look like? Is it confusing? Do you know?
I don't know. Apparently, it's in effect.
Right.
So it's happening.
Right, but people don't fully understand it.
Right, so I don't know. I don't know because I don't get one in higher ed. We didn't get a pay increase.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so, so there's that. But I think one of the we had several people that were a part of our House of Representatives and the State Senate. And candidates were participating in this chat, so it was really good to see all of that. And I know that there was one of those ladies, a Senate candidate. I can't remember. She's an Oklahoma City candidate. I'm scrolling through the chat real quick to see if I can see her name on anything. Okay. She came in late to the chat, I think, but she said this is a she said the pay raise is a giant step. And my response was a polite pushback. It's not a giant step. It is a step in the right direction, but there are a whole host of other issues that have to be addressed in order for a step to be, in my opinion, for a step to be giant.
Right.
This was a necessary step. Like, you can't do anything else without this. But was it giant? It was a 10,000 minimum pay raise across the scale with 20,000 for those that have been teaching for 20. That's giant.
Right.
If I can still move to Texas and make $20,000 more, still, it's not giant. I'm sorry. That's my opinion, and we can argue about it if you want to. But
I don't want to argue.
Yeah, with you. All tweets at Teach From Here. But I'm just saying, there's more to a giant than just a $5,000 pay increase.
Right.
In my opinion. So, so for the first of several questions, I found two. My first one is Deborah Thornton. She said, I don't think it'll help as much as people would like to think. It still doesn't bring it to an amount where people would consider it incentive, though. It'll keep some here, but not pull others in. I agree. I totally agree 100% with Deborah. My second one was Jenny Scott for 41, and she is at Jenny Scott 41. She said, pay raises are a start. Seat at the table is next. Too many policies created without professional input. Yes, teachers are highly trained professionals. And I love that one too, because a lot of policy that we're struggling through and fighting over was policy basically determined by non-educators.
Right.
Or with just enough feedback from educators to give a polite thank you for contributing. We're going to do this.
Right. And I think Deborah has a huge point. We are in a shortage. If all we're doing is keeping people here, it's not going to move the meter.
Right. And the other thing that, and I love this seat at the table, critical when you're talking about educational policy.
Yes.
The other thing too is, thank you for the pay raise, but I'm still teaching 45 students at a time. So you haven't addressed that. And that right there is hair pulling. Like that is a challenge. Maybe that'll come up later. Question two, what are the most important next steps in alleviating Oklahoma's teacher shortage crisis? And that's one of those next steps. We've got to bring down class size.
No, I agree. Joy Hoffmeister says, and she is our state superintendent, for any of you new to the podcast here, she says, invest in our students and classrooms. Oklahoma legislature must stop chasing problems year after year. Get ahead of immediate and lingering challenges with the tools, training, and people our kids need to thrive. And if all we're ever doing is putting out the little fires that are all around us, that doesn't give us vision. I think she's got a good point here. We are always on the reactive, it seems, and it doesn't feel like we've been proactive in Oklahoma, at least as long as I've been a teacher here.
It's been hard to be innovative because we are reacting to situations.
Right.
You can be innovative. It's just not as easy as it would appear.
Right.
John Eccles. Is it Eccles or Eccles? Or is it a Cha? Okay. So at John Eccles, he said, okay, leg must recognize that trust needs to be restored. Show educators with actions next session that the tide has changed. 10-10 was a new beginning, not an ending, and Okla Ed is a priority, both in funding and treating educators like the professionals they are. Boom. And I like that. Because you know, when 10-10 was passed, a huge deal was made about it. Like, look at what we did. And
we won something.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm sorry. It shouldn't be such a big deal to fund education. It just shouldn't be. It should be, this is what we're doing because we want our state and our communities and our citizens to be examples of positive contribution to society and culture.
You know what I'm really loving is, so far we have we've only, you know, spoken on two of the questions, but we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 politicians of our 5 tweets who are giving us information. John, I appreciate you're here, but if you want the hashtag to work, it's okay leg. And you might be new, but just throwing that out there for your next visit to the Twitter chat. It exists, and so okay leg. But thank you for being here and giving us some of your information.
I would encourage all of our elected representatives to participate in this so that they can see where our teachers are in general.
Well, and I'm looking here ahead. I mean, our next question, question three, has two more representatives from state in it. So, you know, I really appreciate them tuning in. This is, I think, the third one since May. Not the third legislative chat, but the third chat that we've had an overwhelming number of politicians join in. And I encourage all of you to chime in and listen to what at least the education constituents say every Sunday. We're here. We speak regularly. You know, come find out. Come see what's brewing.
Coffee?
Beer? We have some craft beers that you
Perhaps. Question three.
What non-legislative actions can Okla Ed take to recruit and retain more teachers? Okay, so I don't. Do you see my comment down to the side?
I did.
Okay, so I clicked on him, and in his bio, okay, his bio. So he is House District 93. Is that Oklahoma City? It looks like Oklahoma City.
I think
City.
It's South Oklahoma City.
Okay, Democrat representing Oklahoma's House District 93. Husband, father, teacher, winner of the Big Texan 72-ounce steak challenge. What? Like, I would like to interview you, Mr. Dolenz, to find out just what that was like.
Okay. Like, how do I need to eat this so I can win it?
So if you've got time to talk to me about this steak challenge, I would do a whole extra Okla Ed session for this conversation.
Mickey also was a classroom teacher who lost his job because of the financials, I believe.
Okay, I did not know that.
I could be wrong, but I'm fairly certain that budgeting forced him out of education.
Dang.
And so, if I'm wrong, Representative Dolenz, please correct me.
Let us know. Yeah. So what actions can be taken that are non-legislative? Well, parent involvement, volunteer involvement, he says, continued community outreach, more time for teachers to plan and collaborate with colleagues, continued support, training and development. Mm-hmm. And yes, you are exactly right. All of those things, non-legislative, you know, things that we can kind of take on ourselves to do and to move that mark. All of those things would be great to have.
Yes. Representative Jacob Rosecrans was my tweet, and he's at Jacob Rosecrans. He said, incentives need to be extreme. Everything should be on the table. Restore respect in our teachers by giving autonomy back, end reliance on tests for everything, and go a student-centered approach over outcome-based. Teachers will flock back. I think if we can incorporate all of these pieces with some other things, teachers will flock back. But I think if you can combine what he just shared with what Representative Dolenz just shared and this pay increase, we're making moves now where teaching can be something in Oklahoma that people want to come do.
Right. It's very exciting to see some of the steps that are now coming into place. I really hope that the dominoes continue to fall, and we need to get more funding back into higher ed as well. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that's coming this next legislative session,
or higher ed equivalent. You know, like sure. We mentioned in our last podcast, maybe not every kid needs to go to college, but there's some sort of post high school education that every student can benefit from. So how can we support them in that?
Exactly.
Question four: what should be the long term legislative goal for Okla Ed funding? This is a hard question, right?
Yeah, that's a very hard question. Tyler Bridges says, continue to stave off policies that have counterproductive to the mission of public ed. Provide long-term funding measure for Okla Ed, a la roads and bridges that allow schools to confidently invest in the classroom instead of wondering about what next year's going to bring. Like, you know, a source of funding, not like, well, we'll take it from this year, or, you know, anyway.
Right. And I saw where Governor Fallon has put a state question out on the next ballot about being able to use, I'm not going to get this 100% correct, but to give local school districts more freedom in how they can use their mills from property taxes and other things. And, which is good. some freedom for school districts to do that. On the other hand, it doesn't introduce any new money. So I think what she's saying is, like, building fund money can also be used to pay teachers. So now school districts are going to be kind of forced into a, do we update this building with the money we have? We're already bonded out. Or do we offer a higher pay salary, you know, offer a higher salary schedule to bring more teachers in? No new money is introduced, but it does give local districts an opportunity to determine how to best use their funds. I don't know. That one's tricky.
Right.
So, yeah. So for sure, if there's something where, you know, like as a school district, I can count on X numbers happening next year for sure.
Right.
You can start long range planning, and that is important.
It's important.
So I went with two tweets here. One came from the Okla Ed, which was maybe Kevin Heim.
Okay.
He sometimes tweets from there. I don't know. There's a small group of people that have access to that hashtag. But it was a Kevin Heim style tweet of one word, equity. So I can't give all the credit to him, but whoever was using the Okla Ed Twitter handle at that moment, equity.
It's good.
I mean, yes, please. Can I have some more?
Can I get a little equity?
Yes. Or even, hey, let's just remove all the barriers. How about that? You know? And then so Jack.
There was a debate in one of my classes this summer where we talked about equity versus adequate.
Uh-huh.
What do you think about that?
Adequate isn't equitable, though. Because what might be adequate in Jinx may not be adequate in an inner city school district.
What if there was a baseline to adequate?
I think if there was a baseline to adequate and we met it, but Jinx is still going to do more, they still have an advantage.
Gotcha.
And I think, in my opinion, with education, it shouldn't be an advantage for a student to attend XYZ school over XYZ school. They should both be exemplary places of knowledge and learning and excitement. And it shouldn't be handicapped by just an adequate. I want above adequate. I want exceptional for my own students, for my own kids.
For my own kids,
And so if I want exceptional for my own kids, then I want exceptional for every single student in a classroom in Oklahoma every time.
Right.
So with that, Jack Reed, who is at JLReed2011, he said the long-term goal should be to find a way to equally fund education with a revenue source that is stable and dependable, with the protection of those funds to be restricted to only education. The backroom games can stop. I saw a tweet earlier today, and so this came out after the chat, but it had something like, education funding shouldn't depend on the price of oil. And I was like, yes.
Agree.
So there you go. Question five.
Question five. Excluding funding, what's the most important Okla Ed issue for next year's legislative session?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's hard. That's a excluding funding. Good question. I'm going to let Ange say for me what I should be saying back. So we're in a cycle here, Miss Angela Clark Little, but she says, I'll leave this answer to the subject matter experts, the educators, but we'll advocate alongside you once you've decided. I don't know. I don't know what the number one thing is. Do you have an idea of what the number one thing could be?
I tell you, if we're talking, you know, non-funding situation, I would love to see some sort of how we're assessing learning addressed. Like, yeah. I'm not a fan of the third grade reading test. Not a fan of all these tests that kids have to take in high school. The information that we get from that doesn't help us as teachers better educate a student, because we don't get any of the information back until the student is already and we get it back 5 months later. That's not helpful.
So can I don't know. I know this came from the State Department of Education. You know how we got rid of EOIs?
Did we?
And so we did get rid of as many tests. There were 7, but now there's a U.S. history test placed back on there.
Right.
And there's an extra science test outside of the ACT. And it's, I think it's because of our own standards. If I'm wrong, somebody from the OKSDE, let me know. But I think it's because of our standards are deviated from the federal standards. So we have to have a test to test our standards. That's why the ACT doesn't count for science.
I don't know. We added history back after it went away. I just wonder sometimes, you know, it's not necessarily what gets assessed gets learned. It's what gets monitored.
Yeah.
You know, anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
I chose Linda Wade for Oklahoma Senate 42. Linda Wade for OK. And she said, the most important thing I want to see restored in education is beyond the basics, are the arts and the critical thinking skills desperately needed in a technological age. And I really like this tweet because I get all jacked up on the inside when I see a parent say, I can't believe my school district's using Chromebooks. Why are they using Chromebooks? They should just be using pencil and paper and blah, blah, blah. And I tell you, I just come back to my stepdad has had some significant heart issues. And after open heart surgery one time, he's got all these tubes running in it, basically keeping him alive.
Right.
All kinds of stuff. Like, it was impossible to count the number of things he was connected to. You can't do that if you're a product of straight up multiple choice testing system, because the nurses and doctors that were caring for my stepdad had to solve problems by the minute, and they were not multiple choice problems, and there was not a pencil in the room.
Right.
So, and
you might be able to Google a lot of things, but okay, Google, what do I do?
Yeah.
You know,
and boy, am I thankful that those people had the training they had.
Next.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, I think Linda's onto something here, because there's gotta be a way that we can better develop critical thinking, but it's hard to do that when you're told you have a choice of A, B, C, D, or E.
No, but okay. So am I wrong? It says, are the arts and critical thinking skills desperately needed in a technological age? So I thought she was saying we could get rid of those
things. No. I think what she's saying here is she wants to see these things restored.
Oh, beyond the basics.
Yeah, beyond the basics. Beyond the basics. Things beyond the basics. So, like, we need the arts. We need the critical thinking. That's how I'm interpreting this.
No, you're right. I've got it now. I read it differently. You know what? It is so hard because, you know, punctuation matters sometimes.
Twitter is not necessarily a grammar friend.
I mean, we could misinterpret tweets all the time because of, you know, lack of punctuation. But I get it now, Linda. Sorry. I thought you were hating on it for a minute, but I'm with you.
Okay, good deal. So question six. In June, Oklahoma had record voter turnout for the primary elections. Can you believe that? Some people in June, some candidates in June received more votes than they had received on the ballot when they won an election, but are in a runoff.
Yes.
Bang. Yes. On.
That is crazy. Thank you, Oklahoma.
Yeah. Okay. So in June, Oklahoma had record voter turnout for the primary elections, and several legislative races will be decided in the August primary runoffs. How are you informing OCLA-ed parents and teachers about key August primary runoff elections, and what plans do you have to encourage voter turnout?
That's a really good question. I saw something on Facebook yesterday. It was like, hey, if you're an educator, you should have a sign in your yard right now.
Yeah. Wasn't that Wes Fryer?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay. I saw the same tweet. I remember seeing the same tweet.
Okay. But I liked what Elizabeth Smith said here. She says, I talked to everyone about the runoff and November elections. Seriously, my new hairstylist and I had a 30-minute convo about it last week. Parents, neighbors, the kids of our kids' sports teams, like everyone. I like it.
Hey, are you a human? Are you over 18? Listen, I have some thoughts. Did you think about, did you know?
We got something to talk about.
So I went with John Browley, and he said, and he is at John Browley. He said, "How about staff drawings for submitted I voted stickers on a note card with their name? Work with PDA to reach out to parents about funding challenges and importance of civic engagement on public education."
I like it.
That's a good one.
We can update the I voted sticker.
Yeah.
It can be updated. I like it.
Win a $25 Starbucks gift card. I'll go vote.
Hey. But then are you exchanging money for votes there?
Hey, here's the deal. In Australia, you have to vote, right? And when you vote, your name goes into a, you get one spot in the national lottery. And if you don't go vote, you have to show up and say that you refuse to vote.
Wow.
So I don't know if I want to make it, man, like, this is horrible. Some people I don't want voting.
Maybe you should take an extra few minutes to think about that one, then.
I don't mean that in a negative way.
25 years.
Tweet at E. Barnes for that one.
That's horrible. Okay, moving on. Question 7. Oklahoma will have a significant number of newly elected officials in 2019. What should Okla Ed advocates be doing to build relationships and share information with new lawmakers? This is a great question. And Sherry Gately, who is at Sherry Gately, she said, make yourself known at the Capitol from day one. Call, email, show up, get to know the Okla Leg assistants too. They can help when you might be having a hard time getting a hold of your legislator. I mean, OKC Megan and I are pretty much besties. And, you know, all of those new officials, I'm pretty sure, get a page for a year to help them with the reading of things, to help them with the research of things. And so that person would be a good person to get to know as well.
For Dizzle. So I went with Wes Fryer here. Oh, maybe this was it. And he is at W. Fryer. He said, all Oklahoma educators should have home yard signs out for candidates that are pro-education. We need to especially support, encourage, and amplify the voices of educators / retired educators running for office.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, right on. Righto, Wes. Question 8. What do you think are the biggest issues Okla Ed should be considering around the legalization of medical marijuana?
Is that a funding source?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Can that be a funding source? But then they're like, don't do drugs, but if you're going to, get a prescription from your doctor. Yeah.
We're gonna hike up all the taxes on cigarettes, but don't smoke.
Right. Yeah, that's a good good question.
So I think anytime you're talking about something medically, you need to treat that as we've treated all the other medically things. Like, doctor needs to okay it, school needs to be aware of it, right? I mean, in a nutshell.
Right. I went with John Braley again here. He said, better figure it out. Full legalization is coming, not just to Oklahoma. We're educators. We need honest education early. Supportive wraparound services for students. You're lying to yourself if you think that kids don't have access to it as it is. No scare tactics. It undermines us.
Hey, and he's right. You can walk into a high school, find a couple kids, and probably if you really wanted something illegal, it could be located, honestly. And that's not a knock on teachers or students. I mean, there's risky behavior associated with high school students. It's just where they are.
Yeah.
We just need to education and wraparound services. Let's provide some support structure there for students so that they don't fall into these cracks of dependency in ways that can harm them. Now, I'm not comparing that to a medical marijuana where a doctor has said, hey, do X and such. But
right.
But yeah, the wraparound I think would be awesome. So Ann Beck, and she's at Mrs. Beck 25. She said, first, how we plan to administer the prescription if prescribed to our students when other drugs have failed safely and without controversy. And that should be our main objective.
Mm. Wow. Because, I mean, you don't think about, I would think if rec marijuana was passed, it would be a of age type conversation. Mm-hmm. But she's right. I mean, we may have students who are prescribed, you know, some of these things based on cancers and everything else. That's an interesting point she brings up that I hadn't thought through.
Well, and the other thing that goes with that too is in some school districts you have the mandatory drug testing. So how's that going to be addressed now?
Good question.
You know, so, and does medical marijuana put a different marker in your system than recreational marijuana? I mean, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good, I mean, that's a great question.
So.
So speaking of great questions, number nine, how are you sharing great things happening in your school with lawmakers and other key influencers in your community? Mm-hmm. That's a great question. How are you doing this thing? Did it stop in May? Are you still reaching out to them now? You know, these are good questions.
Important questions for important people.
Yeah. Steve Gilliland said, social media, as much as possible. Report back tomorrow. Fasten your seatbelts. LOL.
Hashtag so long summer. Hey, did you see the picture that Steve posted a couple weeks ago of that big fish he caught?
No.
Oh, man. It was a big one. Like, I need to make friends with the Gilliland family because in case of zombie apocalypse, the Hazelwoods will not survive on the fishing hole. So I need to partner with a family that can fish survival.
Sounds like he's your man. I heard fish come in three sizes.
I'll bite.
It's really good. small, medium, and the one that got away.
Oh, okay. That's a good one. So... Twyla Hester, and she is at Twyla Hester. So glad she's back regularly. I missed her while she was working on her graduate stuff. Also new principal this year. She said we've had a meet and greet with the legislature, with the legs in Tuttle this summer. Thanks to our chamber, I've met with many other key people at other gatherings, updating website and increasing social media visibility to share positive stories. We decide how our story is told. Listen, yes. of all of that, what we as educators need to hear is that last sentence that Twyla put in there. We decide how our story is told. I don't care what level you teach, where you teach, how you teach. If you don't share what you're doing, somebody else is going to determine the view that education has. And like Twyla said, we decide how our story is told. We need to share the good, the bad, the ugly as frequently as we can in as many places as we can. So that people understand what is happening in our classrooms.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is good. There's a lot of good things there are amazing things going on in every single school. But there are struggles that we face that people don't think about because teachers, and administrators and school district administrators think if we share this with the community, it'll be a PR disaster. And you know what? There are a couple things that, yes, that is a PR, but there's a lot of things that aren't. There's a lot of things that our communities need to understand so they can better advocate for us.
You know, and not even just PR disasters. I mean, how many teachers do you know buy things out of their pocket?
Yeah, so Target had the whole 15% off for teachers thing. Like, teachers, come in and get your stuff 15% off. And you know what? That made me mad. Because there's an expectation that we spend money on our classrooms.
Yeah.
That's not provided to us. We can't provide through funding the type of classroom we want our students to have. We have to go spend our own money on it. Thanks, Target. But crap, why are we in this situation?
Exactly. Have you seen the Amazon wish lists now?
Man, yes. Look, Aaron, I'm having to massage the vein back into my head.
No, and so it makes me sad. Like, that is something that the legislature should know. Like, hey, we've reduced ourselves to donors choose and Amazon wish lists and thank you cards to Target for supporting and knowing that we have to buy things out of our own pocket. You know, It's crazy, and that's another thing that needs to stop if we're going to keep teachers in Oklahoma.
I have mixed emotions about the Amazon wish list and the teachers pay teachers and the donors choose. I'm like, on the one hand, that's great for all that's good for you that you can get people to do that. We shouldn't have to beg for that stuff as teachers. We shouldn't have to go out and hustle that stuff. Within reason, we should be able to ask for X number of dollars to decorate our room, get basic school supplies. I mean, the school supply list in Oklahoma, you don't get a free education.
No.
Your school supply list is going to run you at Walmart, at the cheapies, at all the cheapies, cheapy all the way through, at least $100, if not more.
Yeah. Well, and so for the podcasting that we do, I wrote a grant proposal for that. That was funded by a grant, 100%. But that one seems, I guess, maybe a little more over the top, than post-it notes and markers and everything else. But, you know, it's all, it was $1,000. You know,
right? Like you couldn't have done it otherwise.
No, but now, I mean, my students learn so much. They're able to articulate so much because of this outlet.
Right.
Is it educationally necessary? Probably not. Are they getting a better education? Without a doubt.
Right. And I think that's important. And I know, and I would say something like that would be like what you're doing with your students. That could be something where a school foundation could come in. Like there's the different school foundations where you can write a grant to those foundations and get some money back after it's been reviewed and voted on and all that. And I think that's a perfect outlet, because although a podcast you've done amazing things with your students, that wouldn't be what most people would consider as a necessary school supply.
Exactly. You know? But if you had a podcasting room in your school that all kinds of teachers could use, yeah, and throw their stuff out there, I think it'd be awesome. I mean,
yeah.
Podcasting, you know, the school itself growing out things for, I don't know, I just it was fun for me, but like I said, I wouldn't have been able to do it without the grant.
Right. So Boom Sauce tweets,
you have two. I'll let you give them.
Okay, well, I will. So I had two Boom Sauce tweets. One was Lauren Pena in question in answer to question one. Let me scroll back up to the top here. So question one said, the teacher raises ranging from $5,400 to $8,800 based on experience and degree level are now in effect. What impact do you think the pay raise and subsequent increase in retirement benefits will have on the Oklahoma teacher shortage crisis? So my first Boom Sauce tweet went to Lauren Pena, and she said, I can't speak for anyone else's experience, but I left public ed for smaller class sizes. While I was thankful for the raise, I just never felt like I could give my kids effective feedback in writing when there were so many of them.
Yeah.
I mean, and a friend of my, one of my best friends teaches, two of them actually teach high school English in Edmond. And one year they lost an English 3 teacher and they didn't replace her. They couldn't. So guess what happens? Those 150 kids get sprinkled in among the three or four remaining teachers. And right. Guess what? That's that many more papers to read. And how can you give effective feedback when you've got 200 kids that roll through your room? You can't.
There's no way.
Like, there's no way. So, yes, Lauren, Boom Sauce. The next one was from Stephanie Hinton, and this was in response to question five. Scrolling to question five, excluding funding, what is the most important Oklahoma ed issue for next year's legislative session? And so Stephanie Hinton said, a focus on the purpose of education.
Boom.
I think that it is important that our students love learning and are involved citizens. Our current focus on testing gets in the way of what's important. Didn't we just talk about that? So it was hard for me to just pick one Boom Sauce. So I did both.
Well, that's fine.
Okay.
Next week on the Okla Ed Twitter chat, we're going to hear from Kristen Ashley again, and she's bringing Eleanor Goetzinger to talk about trauma-based behaviors in the Oklahoma schools.
I smell a pretty amazeballs chat coming.
I do too. I do.
I smell another conversation afterwards where Aaron, you and I are going, you know that PD we've mentioned where we need this and we need this and we need that. We're going to have to add to it.
Yeah. At least I've been introduced to trauma informed before with Kristen and Stephanie.
Right.
So maybe we can use the same PD that we are in need of still.
Maybe.
Without adding to another one. I don't know.
We'll have to see.
Yeah. But that chat's going to happen this Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Be there or be a parallelogram with equal sides.
Rhombus?
Yeah. That's another word for it.
Yeah. Rhombus has four equal sides, and a square is a type of rhombus.
Yeah.
Not a parallelogram, though. I guess a rhombus could be a parallelogram. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
if only, dear listener, you could have just seen Aaron's hands.
Oh my goodness.
And right. And forehead smack.
All right.
All right, educators, you know what to do.
Go out and dominate the world.
Yeah, cause in school, dominate school, because you're going back.
That's right.
Have a good year.
That's right.
Florence and the Machine.
Yeah.
Pink, when Pink does a standard, or when Lady Gaga does a standard instead of a pop deal.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Holy smokes.
Yeah. So where's your class if you are wrong? In all the right ways, on the underdogs. We will never be anything but loud and bitty, gritty, dirty little freaks. Won't you come on and raise your glass? We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay. Saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.